Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're going deep on something you sent us.
Oh, yeah.
That your research on the immune system and the gut microbiome
And the brain.
and the brain. I mean, you're a hypnotherapist, so you're already thinking about the mind-body connection.
Right.
But get ready
Yeah.
to see just how deep that rabbit hole goes. We're on a mission here to uncover some pretty amazing connections
Yeah, some surprising connections.
between these systems and to explain why they matter so much for well-being
Absolutely.
for everyone,
Yeah.
but especially for someone like you who helps people tap into the power of their minds.
It's fascinating how interconnected these systems really are. We're moving past that old idea that the mind and body are separate.
Right, like they're totally isolated,
Yeah, totally
but
separate.
they're not.
No.
It's more like they're constantly having this intricate conversation.
Exactly. In fact, the brain, the immune system, and even the gut microbiome are so intertwined
Wow.
that they almost act as a single entity.
Oh.
It's a bit like the Three Musketeers, all for one and one for all. When one system is affected, the others feel it too.
So let's start with the immune system.
Okay.
It's basically our body's security force,
Yeah,
right?
it's a great way to put it.
Always on the lookout for anything that could cause trouble.
Yeah, it's constantly patrolling, identifying, and eliminating threats.
Right.
Its job is to figure out what belongs in your body,
Like what's self?
self, and what doesn't, the non-self.
Bad guys.
Or pathogens.
So how does it actually tell the difference? Is there some kind of microscopic ID check going on?
You could say that. It's actually pretty amazing. The immune system has two main branches that work together.
Okay.
There's the innate immune system, which is like the first line of defense.
Okay.
It's fast-acting, nonspecific, and ready to tackle any intruder on the spot. Think of it as the security guards at a concert.
Okay.
They're there to keep everyone safe, regardless of who's trying to get in.
Gotcha. So like a
Yep.
general response.
Right.
And then there's what the adaptive immune system.
Exactly. This system is more like a specialized task force.
Okay.
They take a little longer to respond, but they're highly trained, incredibly specific, and they have a fantastic memory. So the next time that same pathogen tries to cause trouble,
Oh.
the adaptive immune system is ready to take it down swiftly and efficiently.
Wow, that's impressive. So it's like having your own personal bodyguard that gets better with every encounter.
Precisely.
Cool.
Now, the immune system has its headquarters, if you will, all around the body. Think of the lymphatic system as this intricate network of surveillance routes
Okay.
with lymph nodes acting like checkpoints
Right.
where immune cells gather and exchange information.
Makes sense.
Then you have the spleen, which filters the blood and removes old or damaged cells. And let's not forget the bone marrow, which is constantly producing new recruits.
Right.
The red and white blood cells that are essential for fighting off invaders.
And the thymus, too. Isn't
Adams?
that where those specialized T cells get their
Yeah.
training?
All these different cell B cells, T cells, macrophages,
Right.
they're like the soldiers on the ground,
Wow.
using weapons like antibodies
Okay.
and the complement system to fight off invaders.
Okay. So it's like a whole military operation
Yeah.
happening inside our bodies,
Yeah.
but on a microscopic scale.
Exactly.
Can we walk through an example
Sure.
of how this all works in
Of
action?
course. Let's say you get a small cut on your skin.
Okay.
Immediately, those macrophage cells rush to the scene.
Okay.
They're like the scouts using their pattern recognition receptors to identify the intruder and release cytokines,
Right.
which are like chemical signals calling for backup.
So it's like a microscopic 911 call going out.
Exactly. Those cytokines trigger an inflammatory response,
Gotcha.
bringing in neutrophils
Okay.
and other cells to clean up the mess and begin the healing process. That's why a cut gets red and swollen.
Right.
It's inflammation doing its job.
So the innate immune system swoops in to contain the situation, and then what happens?
Then the adaptive immune system kicks into gear.
Okay.
Those macrophages aren't just fighting, they're also gathering intel.
Okay.
They break down the pathogens and present little pieces of them called antigens to the T cells in the lymph nodes.
So it's like taking fingerprints from the crime scene.
A perfect analogy.
Right.
Those T cells are like detectives comparing the antigen fingerprints
Oh, good.
to their database. Once they find a match, they activate the B cells,
Okay.
which are the antibody factories.
And those antibodies are like wanted posters tagging the specific bad guy for
Exactly.
destruction.
And this whole process from the initial cut to the antibody response showcases the incredible coordination
Wow.
and efficiency of the immune system.
It's incredible. But what really blows my mind is that this is all happening without us even realizing it.
It is remarkable. But remember, this is just the beginning. We've only just scratched the surface of how the immune system works
Right.
and how it's connected to other systems in the body.
And that's what we're going to explore next.
Right. Yes.
Because this is where things get really fascinating.
Absolutely.
Especially when we consider the connection between the immune system and the brain.
Absolutely. And this connection has profound implications.
Yeah.
For our understanding of health well-being,
right,
and even the effectiveness of therapies like hypnotherapy.
I can't wait to dive deeper.
Let's go.
Okay, so we've established that the immune system's incredibly complex.
Yeah.
And sophisticated.
Yes, it is.
That's constantly working to protect us.
Yeah.
But how does it actually talk to the brain?
Mm.
I mean, they seem like such different systems.
That's a great question. For a long time, scientists believed that the brain and the immune system were largely separate,
right,
with the blood-brain barrier acting as a kind of wall between them.
Yeah.
But now we're learning that they're actually deeply interconnected.
Oh, wow.
And communicate in some pretty fascinating ways.
Hold on. The blood-brain barrier. Mm. Isn't that supposed to be like this impenetrable fortress?
Right.
Protecting the brain?
Right.
How can the immune system get its messages through?
It turns out the blood-brain barrier is more like a gatekeeper,
okay,
than a wall.
Okay.
It's very selective about what it lets in and out of the brain, but it's not completely sealed off.
Right.
There are specific receptors on the barrier that can be activated by immune molecules.
Okay.
Allowing them to pass through and deliver their messages.
So it's like a VIP pass for certain immune signals.
Exactly. And then there's the glymphatic system.
Okay.
A network of vessels that act as the brain's own lymphatic system.
Wait, the brain has its own lymphatic system?
It does. It was only discovered recently, and it's responsible for clearing waste products from the brain.
I had no idea.
It's a relatively new discovery that's changing the way we think about the brain and its connection to the rest of the body. What's really cool is that the glymphatic system connects to the rest of the body's immune system through the meninges, those membranes that surround the brain and spinal cord.
So immune cells can actually get a glimpse of what's happening inside the brain.
Precisely. They can sample the cerebrospinal fluid.
Wow.
And detect signs of infection or inflammation within the brain.
That's amazing. So the brain has its own internal security team.
Yes.
Constantly monitoring for any trouble.
Exactly. And then there are the microglial cells, which are actually immune cells that reside in the brain.
Oh, wow.
They're like the brain's resident immune specialists, always on patrol looking for anything suspicious.
So even inside the brain itself, there's this constant immune surveillance.
Absolutely. And these microglial cells don't just fight off invaders. They also play a crucial role in synaptic pruning.
Synaptic pruning.
Yes. They help eliminate unused synapses, which is essential for healthy brain development.
So you mean like trimming back the connections?
Yes.
Between neurons?
Exactly. It's like decluttering the brain.
Yeah.
Okay. Making sure the connections that matter are strong and efficient.
Wow. So the immune system is actually involved in shaping our brains.
It is. And there's even a direct communication pathway between the brain and the spleen called the inflammatory reflex. It involves the vagus nerve, which is like a superhighway connecting the brain to many organs in the body, including the spleen.
The vagus nerve.
Yeah.
I've heard that's really important for regulating all sorts of bodily functions.
It is. And in the case of the inflammatory reflex, if the vagus nerve detects high levels of inflammation, it sends a signal to the spleen, which then releases anti-inflammatory molecules to calm things down.
So it's like a built-in thermostat.
Yeah.
Keeping inflammation in check. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But this whole idea of the brain and the immune system constantly talking to each other, it makes me wonder about the connection to mental health. You know, as a hypnotherapist, I've seen firsthand how stress and emotions can impact physical health.
That's a really insightful point. And you're right, the connection between the immune system and the brain is intricately linked to our mental and emotional well-being. In fact, the way the brain interprets signals from the immune system can have a profound impact on our mood behavior and even our susceptibility to mental health conditions.
So it's not just that feeling sick can make you grumpy.
Right.
There's a much deeper connection going on.
Exactly. And to understand this connection, we need to shift our perspective on how the brain works.
Right.
Instead of seeing it as simply reacting to the world, we now understand that the brain is constantly predicting what's going to happen next.
The brain is a prediction machine.
Precisely.
Wow.
It's constantly building models of the world based on our experiences and using those models to anticipate what's coming. This allows us to respond more quickly and efficiently to events both internal and external.
That makes sense. So how does this relate to the immune system and mental health?
Well, think about it. The brain receives information not only from the outside world through our senses, that's called exteroception,
okay,
but also from inside the body through interoception.
Interoception, that's like our internal senses, right?
Exactly.
Like feeling our heartbeat, our breath, hunger pangs.
Exactly. And the brain is constantly interpreting these signals, creating a sense of what's happening inside our bodies. Now imagine what happens when the immune system is activated, releasing those inflammatory molecules we talked about earlier.
Okay.
Those molecules can actually interfere with the brain's ability to accurately interpret these internal signals.
Oh, so it's like the immune system is sending out an alarm.
Right.
And it's making the brain jumpy and misinterpret things.
That's a great analogy. And when the brain gets these mixed signals, it can lead to a whole cascade of effects.
Like what kind of effects?
Well, for example, it can trigger the release of stress hormones, which further amplifies the inflammatory response. It can also make the brain more sensitive to pain and other unpleasant sensations. And in some cases, it can even contribute to the development of anxiety, depression, and other mental health challenges.
That's fascinating. So it's not just that inflammation makes us feel physically lousy. It can also directly impact our mood and emotional well-being by messing with the brain's ability to interpret its own internal signals.
Exactly. And this is where the concept of immunoception comes in.
Immunoception, what's that?
It's the body's ability to sense infection, even before we consciously feel sick. It's like a sixth sense for our immune system.
Wow. So our bodies are constantly scanning for threats, both internal and external.
Yeah.
And using that information to shape our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors.
Right.
All without us even realizing it.
It's truly remarkable. And the more we understand these connections, the more we realize how crucial they are for our overall health and well-being.
This is blowing my mind. But hold on. If the immune system can have such a big impact on the brain and mental health, what about the gut?
Yeah.
I've heard there's a connection there too, right?
You're absolutely right. There's a powerful connection between the gut and the brain, and it's mediated in part by the immune system. In fact, some scientists refer to the gut as the second brain because it has its own vast network of neurons called the enteric nervous system.
Wait, the gut has its own nervous system?
It does.
Wow.
And it's in constant communication with the brain via the vagus nerve, which we talked about earlier.
Right.
This communication highway allows the gut to send signals to the brain about everything from hunger and satiety to mood and emotions.
So our gut feelings are actually a real thing.
They are. But here's the really fascinating part. The gut is also home to trillions of bacteria, viruses, and fungi that make up what we call the gut microbiome.
The microbiome, right.
Yeah.
Or that's really important for digestion and overall health.
It is. And what's really fascinating is that the gut microbiome can actually influence the brain and immune system in some pretty powerful ways.
Okay. How does that work?
Well, for starters, the bacteria in our gut produce all sorts of molecules that can interact with the immune system and the brain.
Okay.
Some of these molecules can promote inflammation, while others can have anti-inflammatory effects.
So it's like a delicate balancing act going on in our gut.
Exactly. And when that balance gets thrown off, it can lead to all sorts of problems, including digestive issues, autoimmune disorders, and even mental health conditions like anxiety and depression.
Wow, so our gut bacteria can actually influence our mood.
It is. In fact, there have been some fascinating studies where scientists transferred the gut microbiome from depressed humans into rats.
Okay.
And guess what happened? The rats became depressed too.
No way. That's incredible.
Yeah.
It really shows how powerful that gut-brain connection is.
It does. And what's even more fascinating is that the gut microbiome plays a critical role in training the immune system.
Training the immune system. What do you mean?
Well, the gut is actually the largest immune organ in the body.
Wow.
It's constantly exposed to all sorts of foreign substances, from the food we eat to the bacteria that naturally live in our intestines. And this constant exposure helps the immune system learn to distinguish between friend and foe.
So it's like a boot camp for the immune system.
Exactly. And when the gut microbiome is healthy and diverse, it helps the immune system stay balanced and function properly. But when the microbiome is disrupted, it can lead to an overactive immune response, which can contribute to inflammation and a whole host of health problems.
This is also interconnected. It's like everything is talking to everything else.
It is. And that's why it's so important to take a holistic approach to health and well-being. We can't just focus on one system in isolation. We need to understand how all these systems work together and support their interconnectedness.
That makes a lot of sense. So we've talked about the immune system, the brain and the gut, and how they're all interconnected. But we haven't really talked about stress yet. I mean, we all know stress is bad for us, but how does it actually fit into this whole picture?
That's a great point. Stress plays a huge role in all of this. In fact, it's one of the biggest disruptors of this delicate balance between the brain immune system and gut microbiome.
Right.
And understanding how stress works is crucial for anyone who wants to improve their health and well-being.
Right.
Especially for someone like you who helps people tap into the power of their minds to heal.
Okay, let's dive into that then.
Okay.
So stress, all right, it's everywhere these days.
Yeah.
But what is actually happening in our bodies when we feel stressed out? Is it just a feeling, or is there more to it?
It's definitely more than just a feeling. Stress triggers a whole cascade of physiological changes in the body, all designed to help us deal with a perceived threat. Think of it as our ancient survival mechanism kicking in.
Right, like the fight or flight response.
Exactly.
But how does that play out in the body?
Well, when we encounter a stressful situation, our adrenal glands release adrenaline and noradrenaline. You might know them as epinephrine and norepinephrine.
Okay.
These hormones give us that surge of energy, increasing our heart rate, quickening our breathing, and sharpening our senses.
So we're primed for action, ready to either fight off the threat or run away from it. Makes sense.
Exactly. But there's another key player in the stress response.
Yeah.
Cortisol.
Oh.
It's a powerful hormone that helps regulate the immune response, preventing things from spiraling out of control.
So it's like a temporary break on inflammation, making sure our immune system doesn't overreact.
Precisely. In the short term, cortisol is actually beneficial. It helps us cope with acute stress and keeps our immune system in check.
Yeah.
But here's the catcher. Chronic stress is where things get problematic.
Because those cortisol levels stay elevated for too long.
Exactly. When we're constantly under pressure, those cortisol levels remain high, and that can suppress our immune function over time, making us more susceptible to infections.
So we're more likely to catch colds, the flu. Even those dormant viruses we carry around can reactivate like shingles. You got it. And chronic stress doesn't just weaken our defenses, it also fuels inflammation throughout the body. This low-grade chronic inflammation can contribute to a wide range of health problems, from heart disease and diabetes to autoimmune disorders and even cancer.
Wow. And it's not just our physical health that takes a hit, right? Doesn't chronic stress also mess with our gut microbiome, that community of trillions of bacteria living in our digestive tract?
Absolutely. Stress disrupts the delicate balance of bacteria in our gut, leading to what we call dysbiosis. This imbalance in the gut microbiome is linked to inflammation, digestive issues, and even mental health problems.
It's amazing to think that stress can have such a profound impact on something as tiny as our gut bacteria.
It is. And remember, we talked about how the gut microbiome communicates with the brain through the vagus nerve? Well, when the microbiome is out of whack, it can send signals to the brain that trigger anxiety, depression, and other mood disorders.
So it's like this vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. Stress impacts our immune system, which throws off our gut microbiome, which then feeds back into more inflammation, and potentially even mental health challenges.
Precisely. And what's particularly concerning is the impact of social factors on stress and inflammation. Things like poverty, loneliness, and discrimination, they all contribute to chronic stress and can have a profound impact on our health.
It's really eye-opening to see how interconnected everything is.
Yeah.
Our environment, our social circumstances, our mental and emotional state, and our physical health.
It really highlights the importance of taking a holistic approach to well-being. We need to address not just the symptoms, but also the underlying causes of stress and inflammation.
Absolutely. So given everything we've discussed, what are some things people can do to support their immune system, reduce stress, and promote a healthy balance in their gut microbiome?
Well, first and foremost, diet plays a huge role. A diverse plant-rich diet is key. For a healthy gut microbiome, aim for 30 different plant foods per week. That includes everything from fruits and vegetables to nuts, seeds, legumes, and whole grains.
30 different plants? That seems like a lot.
It might sound like a lot, but it's easier than you think. And the more variety you have in your diet, the more diverse your gut microbiome will be, which is a good thing.
Right.
Also, don't forget fermented foods like yogurt, kefir, sauerkraut, kimchi. They're packed with probiotics, those beneficial bacteria that help keep our gut in tip-top shape.
And what about those prebiotics I've heard about?
Those are important too. Prebiotic foods like garlic, onions, bananas, asparagus, and legumes provide food for the good bacteria in your gut, helping them thrive.
So we need to feed our gut bacteria just like we feed ourselves.
Exactly. And just as important as what we eat is what we avoid. Ultra-processed foods, sugary drinks, and artificial sweeteners can disrupt the balance of bacteria in our gut and contribute to inflammation. So minimizing those is a good idea.
Okay, so diet is crucial. But what about managing stress? Any tips for our listeners on that front?
Absolutely. Mindfulness and meditation are fantastic tools for calming the nervous system and reducing stress hormones. Even taking a few minutes each day for deep breathing exercises can make a difference.
And never underestimate the power of laughter and social connection. Those good vibes can do wonders for our mood and stress levels.
So true. And speaking of good vibes, exercise is another powerful stress buster. It improves gut microbiome diversity, boosts immune function, and releases those mood-boosting endorphins. Find an activity you enjoy: running, swimming, dancing, yoga, and make it a regular part of your routine.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed that when I'm exercising regularly, I feel less stressed and more energized overall.
And speaking of energy, don't forget about sleep. It's crucial for immune regulation, hormone balance, and overall well-being. Aim for 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep each night. It's like hitting the reset button for our bodies and minds.
So true. I know I'm a total grump when I don't get enough sleep.
Yeah.
Anything else our listeners should keep in mind?
One important thing is to be mindful of antibiotic use. Antibiotics can wipe out both good and bad bacteria in the gut, so it's important to use them only when absolutely necessary.
Right. And of course, staying hydrated is essential for overall health.
Absolutely. Water is involved in every bodily function, including digestion, immune response, and temperature regulation.
Wow, this has been an incredible deep dive. We've covered so much.
Oh.
From the intricate workings of the immune system to the profound connections between the brain, gut, and immune system, it's clear that these systems are not isolated. They're constantly interacting and influencing each other. It's amazing.
It's truly fascinating. And what's even more remarkable is that we're just beginning to understand the complexity of these interactions. There's still so much more to discover.
For sure. This deep dive has definitely sparked a lot of new ideas and questions for me. And for our listener, too, I imagine. Especially as a hypnotherapist, understanding these connections can be so valuable for helping people tap into the power of their minds to heal.
Absolutely. And if there's one thing I hope our listener takes away from this deep dive, it's this. If our bodies are constantly predicting and responding to the world, both internally and externally, how much control do we really have over our health and well-being? It's a question worth pondering.
That's a great point. It really makes you think about the mind-body connection in a whole new way. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll see you next time.